Welcome to In the News for June the 24th, 2022. I am Brett Burney from appsandlaw.com.
And this is Jeff Richardson from iPhone JD. Hey, Brett.
Hi, Jeff. Wow, it is summer already. Next week, next Friday is July 1st, which I just can't even believe saying that. But we wanted to let everybody know right off the bat, we're going to take off next Friday because, of course, here in the United States, it is the predecessor for July 4th, which is our national holiday, and a lot of people will be taking off for that weekend. So just wanted to let everybody know right off the bat, next week, July 1st, we are not going to have an In the News podcast, but you are welcome to post still, Jeff. you're amazing. Sometimes I think you're going to take off and then you still have great things to post. So we're just not going to have a podcast then. And then the week after that, which will be July the 8th, we wanted everybody to know we are going to have a very special edition of In the News. We are calling it, both of us are going to be doing some traveling this summer, Jeff, and we know that we have a lot of friends doing traveling. A lot of people will be traveling this summer, for good or for worse. Hopefully the gas prices and everything doesn't keep a whole lot of people out, but because you and I do quite a bit of traveling, we thought it would be good to have a special edition focused on travel tips and gadgets and apps and things that we use. So we are calling it a treasure trove of travel tips and trinkets. So tune in on July 8th. We'll have a special edition of the In the News podcast. I'm very excited about this, Jeff.
Yeah, that's going to be great. If you like the In the Know segment we do at the end with tips,
yes.
This episode is going to be like all tips, just all travel related tips. So it's going to be fun.
I'm so excited. Okay, very good. Okay, and we'll remind everybody at the end too, and hopefully people will enjoy that. But that aside, two housekeeping things we wanted to cover just real quick. But let's get to your In the News post for today. The first thing right off the bat, I like to ask this: how many traffic lights can you click on?
Oh my goodness.
Captchas are what we're talking about, right, Jeff? I am so sick of seeing these things pop up on websites today.
They are. And I wonder, I realize they say that they're there to make sure that you're not a robot and you're going in to scrape the site of information and sell it or something. I don't even know what. I mean, I question why it's there. But even if it has to be there, those captures are such a pain in the rear end because they always say, click the ones where the traffic light is. And then the traffic light will sort of be in one box, but sort of be in another box. And there's something else that you're not even sure if it is a traffic light or if it is. There was one the other day. Was like,
what about pole?
Is it a
pole
boat
on the traffic?
Is this a boat? I don't know if it's a boat and, maybe it's a ship, not a boat. The whole thing is confusing and a pain. I always have to go through about five of those before I can go through one.
So frustrating.
Thank goodness we may not have to do it. Apple has come up with a way that the iPhone and I presume the iPad will be able to tell a website, hey, you want to know if this is a real person? Yeah, I can tell you this is a real person.
Yeah.
Now, how they're doing it, I don't know. And it's only going to work with supported apps and websites. So, of course, some websites may not work with it. But I've already seen some websites say that, we have a big percentage of the captures on the internet and we're going to support the Apple method. So, any reduction in captures is a
bring
plus
it on.
In my book. So
bring it
on. That's
going
to be great. But it's interesting. I had not even heard about this feat. Did you hear about this one during WDC? This
was only because... No. Yeah. And only since WWDC, Jeff, I've heard people talk about it because, man, I think if they had announced it at the keynote, this would have been the only thing people would have been talking about because I know everybody is so frustrated with these things.
So what that leads me to is, this was a nice little tidbit that we just learned about 2 weeks out. Mm-hmm. I hope that there continue to be awesome new tidbits that Apple may know about, but that we don't know about yet. I mean, wouldn't that be great if throughout the summer we get to hear all sorts of cool new features on top of the ones that we already are looking forward to?
Right. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you for covering that. I have seen this reported in many, many places just because I know people are excited about it and we'll see how it goes. I know there's always ways that people try to create to make sure that the websites are safe. And then the quote bad guys, come in and they take them down. And it's just a constant battle between the two of things. But hopefully this will be something that will be good that Apple is working on as well. Something else that you reported on, we do this from time to time because Apple, they kind of do this quietly as well. They update their suite. I still call it the iWork suite, but I know that I don't think Apple still maybe officially calls that. I don't know. But it is Keynote for presentations, Pages for documents, and Numbers for calculations and spreadsheets. And they just went through and did a new update. I didn't even know about this. I'm so glad to see your take on this, Jeff, because I always love to see new updates to Keynote.
I do. I mean, these apps have been around for a very long time, and I'm glad to see that Apple is still updating them. Of all of them, Keynote's the one that I personally use the most because I like to give presentations on my iPad. And the new one is called, it's Dynamic Themes. Have you tried it out yet, Brett?
Not yet. I can't
tried it out
wait,
last
though.
Night. So what it is, and I've seen this from some other presentation packages, that instead of having a static picture behind you during your presentation, it'll be something that sort of like moves subtly. Like maybe it'll sort of look like, you know, like shapes that are slowly moving, nothing fast, but just enough that if your audience notices that there's a little bit of action, and, you know, I guess it could provide a little bit of interesting. Sometimes I feel like that stuff is too much like it's a 1960s
mood. It can take away from your
mood. What were those lamps called? The lava lamp?
Lava lamps, right.
But, you know, whatever. It's something different. And so now you can have it. And so you can have it for the background. And then, of course, as you transition from one slide to the other, you know, if you have the same background, it'll just continue the same motion with just the text on top moving. And, you know, some of them are a little psychedelic, some of them are a little bit more staid, but it's something new, so why not? And they have some other improvements too about animations and stuff like that, but that's great.
Yeah.
Numbers is probably the one that I use the second most often because although I have Excel and Excel works great, Numbers I think is a little bit easier to use and it does the job and has fantastic graphing capabilities. I'd much rather prepare a graph in Numbers than in Microsoft Excel. And so Numbers has got some new features that, you know, really improve performance. So it should just be a little bit more responsive, which is always good. And then Pages adds mail merge, which was funny because there was this article that I linked to from Dan Moran on Six Colors that he points out, you know, the history here is Pages used to exist separately on the Mac and the iPad. And the Mac version had a lot more features. And so a long time ago, Dan says it's 9 years ago, I didn't realize it's been that long, Apple decided to put both apps on parity, you know, use the same common code base so that whatever you could do on the iPad, you could do on the Mac and on the iPhone and vice versa. Great idea, but it meant that they had to take out some of the power features from the Mac. And when they did so, we all assumed that, well, they're going to slowly add these in. And of course they did over the next few years, but Mail Merge has been gone for 9 years, but it's finally back. So, I mean, I haven't done a Mail Merge in a long time, but like if you draft letters and want to send it to a whole bunch of people, you know, maybe holiday letters to people or something like that, you know, you draft it once and you use a Mail Merge to make, well, you know, we all know what a Mail Merge feature is, but it's nice that Pages has it. So, that's great.
Yeah, I know. I still go to several firms that they've used this inside Microsoft Word, right? The Mail Merge, and I think they still call it Mail Merge. I think that's what they call it there in Word. But I got to tell you, I either don't use it or I try to recommend that people don't try to use it because I have seen it just, you know, trip people up so many times. But yeah, this is interesting, and now it makes a lot of sense now that it was taken out of the Mac version and then, you know, because of iPad. Anyway, it's just neat. But even in this article that you linked to from Dan Moran, he's showing it on iOS. Like on his iPhone, like you can do this on there. But wow, interesting stuff. So if you do use Pages and you really really want to do a mail merge inside your Pages application, you can now do that. Okay, congratulations on that. You are always good to find stories. I don't know how you do this, Jeff, about people using their iPhone or even sometimes their Apple Watch to save themselves if they're in a car wreck or something. This one blew my mind a little bit, but yet again, the Apple Watch saves a swimmer that was trapped. It sounds like it got her feet trapped in some rocks underwater.
Yeah. In fact, so Zach Hall is the one who found this one, Zach Hall, 9to5Mac. And it looks like he got it from the police Facebook page where they were just posting that they had rescued somebody. A woman was swimming in the Colorado River and there are rocks in the bottom and she got her foot stuck in one and she couldn't get it out. I mean, she tried and tried and she was stuck.
Oh, look,
and the water was cold.
Wow.
There's a picture of her. They've got her face covered. But fortunately, thank goodness she had an Apple Watch on and was able to call 911 and she explained what was going on and the police got out there and at first they tried to talk her through getting her foot out and that didn't work. So then the officer actually jumped in and was able to get her out of there. But it said that at the time that she was doing so, she was nearing exhaustion. She was nearing hypothermia. You know, I don't know which version of the Apple Watch that she had, but, you know, keep in mind that we've mentioned this in the past. One of the few real advantages of having the cellular version of the Apple Watch is that if you are in the middle of nowhere and you don't have your iPhone close by, it can make a call. And even if you don't pay the $10 a month service to actually have an active cell connection, it'll always work for 911. And so, you know, if you're the sort of person mm-hmm. that swims in rivers or, you know, anywhere else where you might be in a situation right. where all you have with you is your Apple Watch. We had a story a couple months ago of some guy that was snowboarding or something like that and was in the Alps.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
These are situations where before the Apple Watch, this person was a gone bacon. I mean, they were out there. Nobody was going to come help them.
Right.
So thank goodness. So it's just
incredible.
It's nice to see a successful story, but it also reminds you that an Apple Watch is not just a fun way to get your notifications and help right. you with your exercises. It can actually be a lifesaver.
You know, here's the thing though, Jeff, I keep getting so nervous. Like, I don't think I've ever gone swimming with my Apple Watch. I think it may just be because of my mindset. All these years that I've used technology, like I keep everything away from water as much as possible. Now, I like in this article here from Zach, he says newer iPhones are splash resistant because I know I will sometimes take my phone out if I'm running or walking outside and, you know, it's just sprinkling or so, like, I don't worry about it. But he said Apple Watches are rated for use during pool and open water swims.
I've done it many times.
I don't know. I gotta get brave enough because I know they even have that little, this is like a bonus Apple Watch tip. They have that little, what do you call it? A vibration.
Yeah,
right?
You can get into the mode.
Spit water out of it.
When you do have your Apple Watch on underwater, because of the water and the way it changes resistance, you're not going to be able to tap your Apple Watch, right?
To get all the water out.
Well, no. You're not going to be able to tap the screen to actually make it do things. And so what you do is you turn on this mode and it makes it that the screen doesn't even accept touch input because you're not going to be able to do it successfully. And if it does think something's touching it, chances are it's not even you. It's just the water hits it a certain way and it thinks you're trying to touch it. So you want to have the touch screen turned off when your hand is underwater. But then when you're done and you tell your Apple Watch now back out again, you know, let's go back to how it was before, it gets into this mode where it makes this noise that the vibrations of the noise actually sort of spits out water that's inside the Apple Watch. So it's made for this. I've been told that taking a shower with your Apple Watch is a little edgy, not because of the water, but because of the soap and the shampoo. So that stuff can mess up your Apple Watch. But if you're swimming, certainly in a pool, I've heard people say that it's fine with chlorine in a pool. And if you're swimming in open water, I mean, it's a little bit more risky in water than out of water, but they're made for it. I have done it, you know, for years and years and years when I've had an Apple Watch. Of course, make sure you have a band that's appropriate for water, like the Milanese loop that I'm wearing right now, which is all metal. I wouldn't want that to get rusty. So you want to have a good silicone band, something like that. But if you have an appropriate band, you can do it. You really can do it.
So my family and I are on the road again. We're at a resort and they've got a pool here and I don't know why it just like it. I'm so nervous. Like, I don't know if I can do that, but okay. I'll have to try it. I'll report back on it.
Yeah. And I've been there before where like
I had to buy, I don't want to buy a new Apple Watch.
I'm in the water or in the pool with the kids and I can use my Apple Watch and text my wife and say, you know, here's our status and, you know, we'll see you in 45 minutes, whatever. So, yeah.
Now we talked about something that we did not hear about at WWDC, but something that Apple did announce, albeit again, sort of under the radar, was a brand new power adapter. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like a few people have it in hand. And you linked to a story on 9to5Mac from Aaron Wachulis, it looks like, where they finally have this dual USB-C port. And I thought there was only one, but it looks like there might be
two
adapters. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So Apple sells two of them that they both cost the same amount, which is about, I think it's $60 or something like that. And it's an adapter that you plug in the wall and it's got two USB-C plugs.
Okay.
So, you know, big whoop, you can buy these, a million of them on Amazon.
I know. So many others have them. Right.
Right. Why would you want to get the Apple one? Really just because Apple's quality tends to be pretty darn good for their power adapters.
That's true.
So, you know, if you're not going to get an Apple one, and I've always had good luck with Apple ones, just make sure you buy from a company that's reputable. Apple said what's nice about this one is it's 35 watts, which it can distribute appropriately. So if you're only using one of the plugs, that plug gets all 35 watts. So for like recharging an iPad or something like that, or a computer, if you put two different things in it, it will either split it 17-17 or whatever it is. Or if one of the devices is more power hungry and one of the devices is less power hungry, like a pair of, you know, your AirPods or something like that, something that doesn't need as much power, it will allocate it between the two of them. But that feature, it exists. I mean, for many products, I mean, to compare, this thing is $60. I'm sure it's good. You can read the review and see what they think about it. And let me point out in the review, there's two versions. So there's one version, which is a little bit bigger. And there's a second version, which is more of like a travel version that the prongs flip down and It's just, it's a little bit better for travel. That's they both really cost nice. The same.
Yeah.
So you can decide which one that you want. By comparison, one of the things that I was going to talk about on our upcoming travel show is the Satechi, and I reviewed this on my website.
Oh, Satechi yes.
has a 108 watt, you got it right there, charger. So we're talking three times as much power, and it actually has three USB-Cs instead of two. Now, it does cost $15 more. I mean, this one's $75, but for the extra $15, you can have one of the ports have like 58 watts, which would be great for a computer, or 65 watts or 45 watts. And so like, if you have 45 watts on one of them, the other two are 30 watts each, which is a ton of power. Or if you want to like recharge your MacBook or a laptop computer, you can have 58 watts on one of them. And then the other two can be 30 watts and 20 watts, which is still a ton of power.
That's a lot of wattage.
So you can get, you know, this one's a little bit bigger than the Apple one and it weighs a tiny bit more, but I think this is probably the better buy. But again, if you prefer to just get the Apple products, because and I've many times I get the more expensive Apple product just because I know I can depend upon the quality. It's nice right. to see Apple offering more variety in the power adapters itself.
And it looks like one of the reasons you've explained this to me before, because I'm still a novice on the GaN technology, or what is it, gallium nitride or something similar to that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And to where it can provide 108 watts because it's smaller with this GaN technology that's in there. And I see more and more companies that are getting on board with putting these out. Exactly. The Apple one is not GaN technology, right?
I don't think it is. It wasn't advertised as such, so I'm guessing it's
not. Right, right. Okay, interesting. But that's good. It's great that there's some additional options there. Mm-hmm. In where to go. And you've talked about the Satechi before. I might have to pull the trigger on that one too.
Yeah, it would just be nice
to have that.
It's like, in my mind, Apple quality, great. Anker,
yes.
pretty darn good. I've always been happy with Anker.
Satechi
is one of the other brands that I got a couple of those things over the years. I've never had a problem with them. I hear other people review them well.
Let's talk Apple TV now.
Yes,
we can talk both about the hardware, which I think I discussed this a week or two ago or something like that, to where I was talking about the fact that mentioned Amazon had the Apple TV 4K on for, I saved $50. I did pull the trigger on that, and that was great. I had the older version, but I finally got to 4K, and I already had a 4K television. I just had never upgraded.
So now everything looks better, huh?
I got to tell you, it was better, clearer, more awesomer. We pulled up, and the first thing I did was I went into the Apple TV service, and I started – I can't remember the exact couple of shows, but I do remember that night my son and I watched the MLB baseball game, mm-hmm. and it was like almost bordering on a little disgusting, Jeff, because I could see like every whisker on their face and like every bead of sweat. It was like, wait a minute, I don't know if I need quite that much detail on there. But you had a couple of good posts today in our links about some of the shows that you can go, because you and I like to talk about this, and Apple TV, the service itself, is really doing a good job. One of them I know that you like is For All Mankind, which I have not started yet, but I got to do that soon.
I always love it when people recommend good TV shows, because there's so many of them out there. And Apple TV Plus, I mean, I still laugh at the days when they started and had four shows. They have come so far from there. But one of their original shows was For All Mankind. It's really one of the best. I link to it because you're showing it on the screen. But if you're just listening in audio, I'm not going to say how live it is. There is a fun in the For All Mankind alternative history. Technology is more advanced than it was in our real world. So they came out with a cute little product on the show that in the show exists in the world 1992. In our world, certainly did not exist in 1992. Brilliant. Barely existed 20 years later. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
but that was a fun. So there's a link in the news on that one. And another thing that I linked to in my podcast was a fun interview from Deadline with a bunch of the Ted Lasso cast members. They're recording season 3.
So fun.
And of course, the big question is, it sounds like it's not even a real question. It sounds like that's going to be the final season. Maybe they'll come back with, you know, the Ted Lasso, you know, Thanksgiving special 2 years later or something like that.
Special,
they actually did a Christmas show, but maybe they'll do a Christmas special. So, but that's a fun little interview. And since we're talking about it, I'll just mention, I mean, you're looking for stuff to watch this summer. If you have the Apple TV Plus service, so far in 2022, I'm just going to throw out a few that I've loved. Severance. Severance gets amazing reviews. So many people love Severance. Great show. Absolutely worth seeing. If you like spy thrillers, I really enjoyed the show called Tehran, which season one was last year. Season two just finished up. I just watched the season two finale, I think this past weekend, and it was good. It was really good. Glenn Close is in the second season. I enjoyed it.
Right.
There's a fun one called The After Party, which is a whodunit. But what's great about the whodunit is that every episode is filmed in as if in a different genre. So one episode might be sort of like a romance, and one of them is, you know, more like a like an avant-garde. One of them is a musical. So people break into song, you know, like what? You're watching Hamilton or something like that.
Oh,
and
how
it's
fun.
It's fun, and it's got a lot of actors in it. That one's good seeing. We've mentioned before Slow Horses, which is sort of the spy thriller one.
Yes.
Sort of the anti James Bond, because it's the people that are at the bottom of MI6 as opposed to the top. But that one's really fun. And one more I'll mention that I've been watching. In fact, I just finished it. Was Shining Girls. It's sort of like a Stephen King-y sort of thriller. Like there's something going on you don't figure out for a couple of episodes. It stars, I'm blanking out on her name. She was in the Mad Men, and then she was in the Hulu show that was based on the Margaret Atwood book, The Handmaid's Tale. I'm blanking on her. Elizabeth, it'll come to me, but it's really good. And then I'll also mention, like, starting today, there's a new show on Apple TV Plus. Elizabeth Moss, there it is.
Yes.
There's a new show starting on Apple TV Plus today called Loot, which is starring Maya Rudolph from Saturday Night Live.
I saw that.
And the premise is, like, she's a billionaire, and I think she divorces, and she goes back to a nonprofit that she has. But it's supposed to be, like, a workplace comedy, you know, like The Office or something like that, but within the context of a nonprofit where somebody's got a ton of money and is eccentric. So who knows? I mean, Maya Rudolph can be funny, so that one might be good. There's another one that's coming that I think I actually linked to a few weeks ago called Mrs. American Pie, which stars Carol Burnett at 89 years old. She's going to be in it along with a whole bunch of other
Carol
people.
Burnett. Wow.
Kristen Wiig, Ricky Martin, good Allison Janney. So, you know, we're at the point where if you look at the Wikipedia page of what has come and what is coming to Apple TV Plus,
it's incredible. It
just blows you away. And they have come so far from those original four shows. So, you know, it's great. They're not all great. You know, some are better than others. There's one that I saw you have in a second. It was that you had on the screen. It was called like the Serpent and something or other. I watched first episode and I fell asleep, and I'm like,
not
this
good.
Is not for
okay.
me. I mean, it may be wonderful for other people. It just wasn't for me. So, but when you find a good one on there, it's just such great fun to watch it.
I'll tell you quickly, the only one that I can really speak to, and I was watching this on the 4K TV, and it was great, is this Home. They go to like these different houses and homes. And I just love doing this. Sometimes my wife and I, you know, just like watching, you know, architectural type stuff. Now, you know, that's not quite as fun as Ted Lasso, although we are very much looking forward to that third season.
Did you watch
out.
Tiny World, by the way?
No,
okay,
but
so
I want to go back to that
TV,
one too.
Now that you have 4K, that is the one that's just, you know, a feast for the eyes. And
I've heard it's so
even
good.
If you could care less about the subject matter, watch 5 minutes of it. Just be blown away at how good it looks in 4K.
Oh, okay. I can't wait now. I need like 5 weekends just to do that. Maybe that's good that we're taking off next weekend, because I can catch up on some of this on this. Last story that you linked to, a little bit scary on this, but, you know, I'm glad that at least you highlighted it. This is something new that Amazon, I know we talk a lot about Apple, almost all of the time talking about Apple, but you link it to a story about Amazon. I don't even know how to really explain this. You know, their service that is their, you know, their AI services, Alexa, smart assistant, Alexa, as opposed to Siri. And they showed off something that I don't think really set the best with a lot of people, maybe just because it's a little weird.
The feature is that the voice of Alexa can be another person. And so if you feed it in enough information, it could be a celebrity, for example. That might be an interesting way to do it. You know, have somebody famous give you credit. And you know, we've seen that in the past for like TomTom and some, you know, back in the days when people were using these devices for giving their directions in the car, you could change the directions so that the voice, you know, have different voices saying turn left and turn right. You know, this is nothing new.
Right.
But when you have something as smart as an Alexa that can have almost conversations with you, the idea of changing the voice to, and the example they gave is like a recently deceased grandmother, you know, the idea is like, you know, maybe your grandmother, your grandfather, your mom has passed away, but you're continuing to talk to them because they now live in a little device in your living room. Sounds a little creepy. And I mean, I linked to it. There was literally an episode of the TV show Black Mirror, which is sort of like a modern sort of Twilight Zone type show, that they had, I mean, it was almost the same plot line. It was somebody had deceased and they had an artificial intelligence version of them so that you could continue to talk to the person that's gone away. And is that creepy? Is that therapeutic? I don't know. It sort of gives me the willies, but
one of the things this was an earlier story that they were linking to. Alexa will soon be able to read stories as your dead grandma. So I guess maybe, you know, if you have kids that want, I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite ready for this. I got to tell you though, just like that story, you know, the show from Black Mirror, I feel like I've seen this play out in several other kind of science mm-hmm. fiction movies. And it just reminds me, it's like, you know, the reality will pretty much copy fiction at some point, mm-hmm. Or we may not be able to avoid it. But anyway, I guess maybe thank you for linking to that. I don't know.
I will tell you though, Brett, and I'm sure others have stories like this too. I'm going to try not to tear up while I say this, but like I have a voicemail message from my mom before she passed away. Yeah. It's a totally nonsense. It has nothing to do with anything of consequence, but I haven't deleted it from my phone yet.
Yeah.
And I will admit that maybe once a year or something, I might just sort of play it again mm-hmm. to hear it. I don't know. That sounds stupid to say. That.
No, but, you know, no, it doesn't. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's part of it. It's part of it. Wow. Okay. So maybe there could be some good things. Maybe it's not quite as creepy. We'll look at the positive side of it more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
In the know, let's get to some fun tips. I know. Let's get back to some fun, techie, fun stuff to talk about. Here is a tip I found out about. I had known that I could use my Apple Watch to control music playing from my iPhone. So typically, if I go out for a walk or go running or something, I have both my Apple Watch and my iPhone on. And I love listening to like Spotify or something or Apple Music. And I can do that as I run around because my iPhone has a cellular connection, right? And so I use my watch, though, to control sometimes even the volume of the music. I control whether I want to jump back to a song or go to a different song or go to a different playlist. And that's all great. But at one point, I wanted to leave my iPhone at home. And I know you've talked about this before as well. And I just wanted my Apple Watch. I didn't want a lot of music on my Apple Watch. But I've done this before with a podcast. But I went in and I found this little setting that I had inside my watch app on my iPhone. I think by default, when you go in there, there is the recent music toggled on. I think at least mine was toggled on. I don't know if this is everybody, but that mm-hmm. means now that whatever recent music you're listening to, and I think this has to go through the Apple Music app, that will automatically add the music to your Apple Watch. Well, I didn't even know this was happening, except that I went in and I found out that my entire Apple Watch memory was full, like basically the hard drive on the Apple Watch was full. Mm-hmm. So I toggled off automatically add, and then you can see there's one little picture here. I was able to go in and add specific albums or a specific playlist that loaded directly onto my Apple Watch. And by the way, I'm doing all of this on my iPhone, right? In the Watch app that I'm just simply saying, I want this album and this album and this album loaded onto my Apple Watch. Then I'm able to control exactly what goes to my Apple Watch. So I don't like run out of space. It wasn't like it was a problem because I really didn't use it all that much, but I just liked having the ability to say, I only want these albums on my Apple Watch. Now I can walk out of the house without the iPhone, have my AirPods Pro connect to my Apple Watch, and then I can just go into the Apple Music, and it's really nice interface that I can then go in and just listen to that album. I know this isn't like brand new, but I like the idea that I was able to go in and customize the exact albums that I wanted to be added to my Apple Watch on there. So
yeah,
that's my tip on there. And I'll have a link. This is on imore.com where it goes in and provides a lot of the different options if you want to do just a playlist or just an album, that kind of a thing. I think you have to do this through Apple Music. Like you can't do it through Spotify, although I think Spotify has different ways that you can do it. But the native method for doing this in the iPhone Watch app is using Apple Music on here.
Yeah, I used to do this in the past before I had the cellular model just to carry some music with me. Now that mine has cellular, I mean, I can stream music from Apple Music no matter where I am in the world as long as I have a cellular connection. So I haven't used it recently, but it is pretty cool to have nothing but your Apple Watch and your AirPods in your ears and walk around and listen to whether it's podcasts or music or whatever. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Very good stuff. Your turn, sir.
So for my tip, the precursor for my tip is something that I linked to in the post today, which is this crazy app that somebody, I mean, there are just such smart, fun people out there. Somebody came up with the idea of an Apple Watch app. It's only on the Apple Watch. It's called WatchTube that allows you to stream a YouTube video to your Apple Watch. And I'm like, come on, that can't possibly work. And it's a free app. I downloaded it using the App Store on the Apple Watch. And, you know, I'm clicking on a video. And the next thing you know, I am watching a video on the Apple Watch. And like, it's even, you know, would play sound through, you know, if you have your AirPods in, you can hear it through the AirPods. Really? But if you don't have your AirPods in, you can just hear it on the Apple Watch. And it totally works. And it's crazy. Now, it doesn't work all the time. Like I, for example, tried to play one of these videos, one of our podcast videos, and I got error messages. And I tried some other videos and I got error messages. But for some videos, whatever makes them different, I don't know, it actually worked. And although the size of your Apple Watch screen is obviously tiny, the quality looked pretty good for that tiny little postage stamp size screen. Whoa. So, I mean, it's like, I've never seen anything like this on my Apple Watch where I'm watching a streaming video. And I actually was doing something where like, I was working at something on my computer and I had a video streaming on my watch that I was sort of listening to. And then if they said something I was interested in, I just sort of flipped my wrist and I could glance at it and see it while I'm typing on my computer. Like I could actually see wanting to use this in real life. Now, I have not done enough tests to know what it does in battery life. As far as I know, you know, an hour in, it probably drains your entire battery. I have no idea. Right. I haven't tested that. So so who knows? But the idea. But anyway, it led me to my tip today. Tip is, you know, this is a cool app if you have an Apple Watch. But what it actually led me to is when I first started playing the YouTube videos on my Apple Watch, just saying that sentence out loud is just so bizarre to me. When I first started listening to them, I did not hear any volume unless I had my AirPods in. And I was like, why is it not making any noise? And I'm like, oh, the reason it's not making any noise is because I always, always, always keep my Apple Watch in the mute mode. If you're looking at the lock screen of your Apple Watch, and if you scroll up to get to your little control panel things, you know, one of the things you have there is the little alarm symbol. And mine is always having a slash through it because I don't know anybody that wants to walk around with other people around you and have your watch beeping and booping throughout the day. But my tip is this. Every once in a while, on a weekend, when you don't have a lot of other people around you, go ahead and turn it on. Because about once every 6 months or so, I turn it on and I realize, you know what? And I did it again last night because I turned it on for this other feature. The sounds that the Apple Watch can make are pretty cool. Like you get a notification and you hear a pleasant little ding or something comes in and it gives you, I mean, it's nice. The Apple Watch taps your wrist and that's great. But a tap on the wrist combined with some noises and stuff like that, it's like it's a whole new toy. And every time I turn it on, I'm like, I feel like I got a brand new Apple Watch because it's got a new trick up its sleeve, even though it's been there forever. So if you're like me and if you keep your Apple Watch in mute, my tip of the week is to, on some weekend, just turn on the sound for Saturday and Sunday and just try it out. It really does give your Apple Watch a whole new, it's a whole new experience.
That's great.
And it's fun. And then when you go back to work on Monday, turn it back off again and put it back on mute where it belongs.
It is so easy just to do that, right? You just flip, you know, straight up on your main face and it comes with a control panel, just like you said. And you can basically, you can actually rearrange those. And I have my my mute button set pretty high to the top. So I see it immediately and I tap it almost immediately on there. So that's a great tip. That's good. And so you did that and you were able to hear the video.
Yeah. So once I turned off the mute mode. And I was actually amazed, you know, the volume on an Apple Watch is louder than you would think. Now, if you're at a busy, you know, train station, perhaps not.
Right.
But if you shouldn't be doing it in a train station. But if you're just in your house, just sitting there at your computer or just, you know, doing some work in your house or whatever, it's more than loud enough that you can just listen to something. So, which gets me back to this, the WatchTube developer, he mentioned that one of the features that he's thinking about is a thing that will just play the audio from a YouTube video so that it would use a lot less of the Apple Watch's power. Because there may be times where you just want to listen to the audio portion of a video for whatever reason. And, you know, I have no idea if anything that he's doing violates or complies with the YouTube guides of terms of service. Who knows how long this app will exist. But again, like I said before, you need to applaud the ingenuity of somebody coming up with this.
Oh, that's fun. Great tips. Lots of good Apple Watch stuff. Well, my friend, we won't talk next week.
Not next week.
We're going to take off next week on July 1st. We're just going to take a break. So everybody go and enjoy your time off. But in 2 weeks, on the July 8th, we are thrilled to present to everybody a special edition of the In the News podcast, where we are going to cover a plethora of travel tips and apps and gadgets and things that hopefully can help you if you are planning to do any traveling, this summer or even into the fall. So I'll talk with you in 2 weeks, Jeff. Have a great time.
Sounds good, Brett. Bye-bye, everybody.